WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your hosts.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. When you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, or hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's Thursday.
Talking it's cold.
It's windy. It's cold. We've hit that point of the year. All the things. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show. At Lindsay, come to twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us live and all those things. We got stuff to do, stuff to talk about. There's an actual competitive football game on television.
And look, Detroit's playing in a dome.
Okay, they've always played in a dome.
I know, but they're a cold weather team and they play in a dome. They're smart.
I mean, sure, but Buffalo, they're hardcore. They need the elements.
Do they? Do they?
Yeah, everyone needs the elements. You should not be playing in domes. Be tough. Get in the elements. And aren't they building a new stadium that is still not going to have a dome? I think that's...
Yeah, they're still building an outdoor stadium, but I think it's going to have like a cover over the stands so the stands don't get like covered with snow.
I mean, that's at least something. At least that'll be a start. But no, you need the snow. You need the rain. It's fun and exciting. I mean, you can't tell me that watching a snow game isn't fun.
It's fun if you're not there. I'll put it like that.
Exactly. No, I don't want to be at the snow game. I want to watch the snow game. Those are two different things. Like, being there, no. God, no. Watching it. It is some of the best football you'll watch because it's all unpredictable. Just like when they play in the rain and they're sliding all over the place. I don't want to be sitting in the stands for it. I've sat in the rain for games, for sports. It's not fun. But if you're at home, indoors, watching it, it is a blast. That's why it's like it's fun to watch. Sports are fun to watch in elements. Being there, no. 100% not going to sit out there. I've sat out in the cold. I don't want to sit out in the cold. But I'll watch it. 100% will watch it.
I'm down to watch it as long as I don't have to be in it.
If I'm nice and warm and they're freezing, we got a good game on our hands. And then when your team loses, you have an excuse to complain. It was because of the snow. They couldn't get their footing because of the rain. It was just sliding everywhere. That's, the ball was slippery. It's the rain's fault. That's why we lost. Not anything else. But when we win, it's like, ha-ha, we beat you in the snow. Take that. Anyway.
We're not here to talk about snow games or football, although we could. We could make that a discussion topic. We are here to talk all about professional wrestling and what's going on there. There's a little news.
A little bit.
A smattering of news coming out of the Thanksgiving holidays. And then we're also talking Survivor Series later in the show. So let's not waste any more time and jump right into the news brought to you by mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for WWE, the next Saturday night's main event will be on January 25th, and it'll be from San Antonio, Texas.
Tickets go on sale, I believe, next week. I learned Saturday night's main event in 9 days will be 2 hours long, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on NBC. So it's a two-hour event. Mm. Because I don't know when we were discussing it, but we were discussing how many matches would be on the show. It's like, oh, okay, it's 2 hours, not three, so you can get, like, probably four good matches on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say at least four.
We already got three at the moment. Four? Do we have all four?
Maybe.
We got Cody, Kevin, Gunther, Finn, Liv, Io, and U.S. title finals? I believe those are the four on the show. I mean, that's pretty good. I think if you could maybe... You might be able to get a fifth one on there, depending on timing of everything, depending on how long you want to drag some stuff out for. But you may get one, or I think those are those might be the four matches, and then you do some sort of segment with legends and some talent, just get some name value on the show. Be fun, be good. But yeah, so the second one will be the week before the Royal Rumble, so you could do a really good like go home angle on Saturday Night's Main Event to get people interested in the show. Which would probably be a thing. And for people wondering, it's not WWE who books these. This is NBC going, hey, we would like to have this on this date. Does it conflict with anything you're running? No, we want it there. So it's all on them. That's why it's back-to-back months. Which means the other one won't be until like April or May. Probably May.
Yeah. It's like we want it here and here and here. We want this and this and this and this. And we're paying for it, so you're going to give it to us, right? Speaking of things being paid for, if you would like to binge watch the Raw Library on Peacock, you have until January 1st to do so. After that, I believe it is moving to Netflix, but it will be removed. The remainder of the WWE content will still be on Peacock for right now, but the Raw stuff is going bye-bye.
Yeah, so Raw Archives are going to assume Netflix. I'm kind of mad about it because I do watch them all the time. Just background noise at night. So it's leaving Peacock. It's going to hopefully head to Netflix. So the only archivable content in terms of consistent television programming on Peacock will be SmackDown here in the United States. Because NXT is not available on Peacock anymore because CW has it. And they're not showing the past archives. They're only doing what they have at the moment. But the... If NXT archives go somewhere, it would be on the CW app at some point. But yeah, that's kind of where things are.
I know, like, I'm not sure I like it because it's sort of like I hate that it's all being split up and you can't find everything in the same place. Like, it's actually very inconvenient. And it's something that I know that Comcast and Netflix have a partnership. So I guess for me, it's like I don't understand why you can't leave it on Peacock. Because other than you're trying to get people to go to Netflix, which is the obvious reason, but like
because Netflix has the rights to Monday Night Raw. That's why. So
I know, but it's just like, but you could just leave it, and it would be fine, and it would be easy for everybody.
It would be easy for everybody, but it's not easy for everybody because it's called Billions of Dollars. Netflix says we want Monday Night Raw. And it's going to become a certain point where when the Peacock full deal is up, that could all change. And because they're in between time frames where the Peacock deal is not up until 2026 for the premium live events and everything else that's on, like, content-wise, they can't just move everything at once. It's kind of, you're in the awkward spot of, hey, we just signed this new deal, but our next day rights and archive rights go here. So here we are. It's an interesting play, but we'll see how it works out. It's another sign that the WWE Network is fully coming into an end as everyone's getting these emails overseas where it's like, hey, your WWE Network is coming to an end. And overseas, everything is in one place. So if you really want the WWE Network or all the archives in one place, VPN to somewhere else outside the United States, VPN to Canada, and you probably can have everything in one place because overseas, SmackDown and NXT archives will be on Netflix, just not here in the States. So if you, it's the United States that is the most complicated for the network stuff. So what can you do? Also, one other thing about the Netflix. So mm-hmm. a certain someone was at the Netflix meeting the other day. Representing WWE. Huh. Interesting. People like that just don't show up if they're not going to be coming back at some point down the road. Just saying.
Well, I mean, okay, she is the wife of somebody who was there. She is a former talent, but yes, I would agree that she wouldn't just be there for the sake of just being there. And I firmly believe that as many rumors are flying about her going somewhere else, that there is somewhat of a handshake agreement between her and WWE, where it's when the time is right, she will, they get first right of refusal, basically. And if there is a place for her, they will welcome her back, which, given it's Becky, they will always find a way to welcome her back. You just don't tell her, oh yeah, go F off. You know?
I don't have the sources on this one. You can always trust the source, but I don't have the sources on this one. But I would assume Becky Lynch is under WWE contract. Even if it might be a verbal contract, and she's, because she's still doing merch, her license is still being used for merchandise and in other advertisements and stuff like that. Like, it has not stopped. And when
there might be a licensing agreement in place.
Yeah, and which wouldn't be a thing if she was going to go elsewhere, because she would want her own license to do whatever she wants. But when brands are coming, they want Becky Lynch, and WWE is happy to put her face on things and do things, and yeah, she's coming back. Whether it's beginning of next year or closer to WrestleMania, I would assume probably closer to WrestleMania, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's on the debut Raw or in the first month or in the Royal Rumble. She's coming back. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, she'd be a good surprise for Rumble.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time where she's probably working on a new character and sort of coming up with new ideas and going to come back and try something different and stuff like that. But she's on her way back. But no, she wouldn't be there representing. She wouldn't be at that meeting with all the top talent if she wasn't a part of the company. You just don't go there because you're Seth Rollins' wife. You go there because you're representing WWE, because that's what it was all about.
Or she had committed to being there prior to everything happening, which, considering the fact that she left
in May,
that
wasn't a thing then.
So, I mean, to be fair, Becky needed a break.
Oh yeah.
And I think to be fair, the fans needed a break from Becky. We all love Becky. We all appreciate Becky and what she does for the company and the industry as a whole. But it's like, she was on top and she was kind of carrying things for a very long time. Like, pretty much ever since she came back from pregnancy, she was sort of carrying everything, and she was the top draw and the top name and all this other stuff. And it's like, by the time we got to when she was leaving, it's like, go home, go be with your daughter, go be with your family. You've earned a nice, good, long rest, much in the same vein of Seth, where it's like, they both needed a vacation. They both needed a break. And I think she just wanted to go home and just recharge and rest and figure out what she wanted to do next, because it's, okay, well, I've achieved, if you read her book, which is very good, by the way, If you read her book, you know, she kind of achieved all the goals she wanted to in WWE. So it's, where do I go from here? What do I want to do? What do I want to be? And maybe she's been figuring that part out.
She's training for a half marathon. She's doing a bunch of different things. Yeah.
She's living her best life.
She is. And that's what she should be doing at this stage.
But yeah, she's probably coming back. Anyway,
she'll be back very soon.
Someone who is not going anywhere is Gunther. He has officially signed, and no surprise to anybody, a brand new contract with WWE. I hope he got a nice fat pay raise.
Yeah, he's agreed to a brand new contract with them, extension, whatever, however you want to phrase it. And yeah, he's going to be around for another few years, because why not? He's Gunther. He's your world's champion. Well-deserved.
Well-deserved indeed. Exciting news for Sarah Logan and Eric of the War Raiders. They announced the arrival of their newborn son, Ezekiel Joseph Rose, and congratulations to them and family. Mother and baby are both doing well. Sarah had a very uncomplicated birth from the sounds of what she was putting out, so I'm happy that everybody came through A-okay.
Yeah, congrats to them.
Moving on to AEW, Penta El Zero Madero is officially a free agent. He's no longer with the company.
Yep, he's officially out. Rey Fénix is still there because Tony's not letting him go, even though Tony's not using him.
There was a lot of drama about that kind of stuff, because didn't he do the same thing to, like, Ricky Starks?
I mean, Ricky
Starks. Where he pulled the injury, like, I wasn't using you or you were injured, so you still owe me this time. Like, they basically Rey Mysterio'd him.
So, no, they're two different things. Rey Fénix had injury time, so that contract is continuing. It's what WWE's done in the past and what AEW's been doing, where if you have injury time, they kind of extend your contract. Ricky Starks signed an extension a year ago. Or something like that. Or his extension, or his option was picked up, or whatever. And since that point, they haven't used him. So that happened. So those are two different things. One was an option extension, something like that, and instead not used. And then when he was going to work an indie show, Ricky Starks now got pulled from that indie show because some other guy said something about Shad Khan that Tony didn't like. So Ricky got pulled from there. But they're kind of using... Cardona works for GCW, which was the show Ricky got pulled from. And they're kind of make amends and kind of... But I don't know. It's weird. And the guy who said the comments doesn't even... is not an owner of the company. Just wrestles for them. It's a weird... I don't know. It's weird. But yeah. Penta's gone. Him and Rey Fénix were supposedly headed to WWE at some point. That was always the talk. The Lucha Bros would be there. Whether Penta comes without Rey, we'll see. But that was always been the talk for the summer, that they were going to make their way together. But then the contract was extended for injury, and he's going to be there for a little bit longer. So we shall see.
We shall, in fact, see. In TNA news, the Hardy Boys have officially signed 1-year contracts with the company, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, they were working on the old handshake agreement since they've been there for the last few months, and now they officially put pen to paper. They're going to be working there for a year, so congrats to the Hardys for having another contract in the pro wrestling business. 3 syllables.
Let's go. And last but not least, Blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Juice Robinson is out with a foot injury.
# blame Brent.
Yep, he broke a bone in his foot. He's out for a while. He was wrestling on Collision, or taped a match for Collision that aired last Saturday. He injured his foot. He was hoping it was a sprain. It's not a sprain. It's his foot. He had to be removed from... the Connell Classic. So, yep, that happened.
Feel better soon, Mr. Man Panties. We're rooting for you. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, but Bronson Reed is out with both of his ankles being injured.
# blame Brent.
Yeah, he did a number on his ankles on the dive. So, he's gonna be missing a few weeks. I don't know what I would, hopefully they're just sprains or something. He had to be helped to the back after the big dive, which we'll talk about when we come back from break. But yeah, he's out for a bit too.
So feel better soon, Bronson. I hope it's a quick recovery.
Indeed.
And we're going to talk about that, at least how he injured his ankles, and more when we come back from the break, because we will be talking all about Survivor Series. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Dice, play your cards, break the rules, that's who you are. Whoever said play it safe, never played the game. So many players, but too many pawns, too many judges say what's right or wrong. Let them jump into the fire. They want to play. Oh, 'cause it's a deadly game.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post-show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Now at 10 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line! Go Stone Cold Simpson!
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to The Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button on the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back to talk all about Survivor Series, which aired this past Saturday on the Peacocks here in the United States and on the WWE networks elsewhere. This was a fun show.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And they both were complete opposites of what the other was in terms of the stories they told.
Mm-hmm.
But
they both had similar themes in the sense of it was personal revenge to a level.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. But yeah, it was a good show overall. I wouldn't say it was the greatest Survivor Series of all time, but it was a good show. It was an entertaining show. It flew by. It didn't overstay its welcome.
Mm-mm. It moved. It didn't drag.
Yeah. So let's talk about it.
All right, let's open. Yeah, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Naomi, Io Sky, and Bayley taking on the Judgment Day of Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, and Candice LeRae. This was a lot of fun. The women just absolutely went for it. There was a lot of like dynamics. And what I found really interesting was that the whole, like, well, will they or won't they get along thing didn't really play a factor in this.
Io kind of had a stare down at one point. But beyond that, everyone seemed to kind of work well together, which was nice. I'm starting to really get behind the interaction. Tiffany and Candace play off each other really well.
I need that to be a thing. I'm sorry. I need that to be a thing. I think they could do lovely things together.
Yeah, and they've been pairing up on SmackDown a little bit, and kind of since Indy's been gone, Candace has sort of slid in there with this group, and it's kind of worked. Her like dismissing her, where it's like Tiffy time, it's time to go, and Tiffany's ready to come out into the ring. Now I got this. You stay. I'm gonna go. I'm next. So it's Candace time. That was cool. Rhea had an awesome looking mask.
Oh, she looks so badass.
She did. Like her mask, because it was made by Jason Baker, of course.
Of course, it was.
No surprise, because he's just their mask guy now, making all their outfits and stuff like that. She really looked good in the match, especially with the broken orbital bone in there. She played her safe, but worked well. I know on Sunday they really went off on this. Tim went on those tangents about the EO Candace spot. I was like, they're laughing. It was just I didn't think much of it. It was a point that should have been mentioned. I thought there were more spots because I saw a clip online after I watched the match, and I rewatched it back to impress with the trash can spot this year.
I like how for the trash can spot, she got her own custom trash can, complete with handles to carry the thing up as she scaled the side of the cage. Because it was funny because I like typed in the chat to Rock and Brent when we were watching the show. It's like EO came out and I'm like, oh, trash can spot inbound. Here we go. Here it comes. We all know what's coming, right? And she runs down to the ring and she walks past the door. And she's like, nope, nope, nope. And she starts looking. She's looking for the trash can, right? She's trying to find it. And she has to run all the way over to the other side of the cage to find the trash can. She pulls it out. She throws it on her back. And she starts to scale the side of the cage. And it's like, oh, we're just going for this right off.
Okay. So here's my biggest problem with this entire show, right? Them looking underneath the ring for weapons. It's not that they were looking for the weapons. I'm fine with that. I think Brandon had a problem with it. But I had no problem with it. Them not knowing where whoever put the stuff underneath the ring did not tell the girls or the guys where stuff was.
Nope.
Like, they were specifically looking for items, and they could not be found. because you could tell a couple times they were looking for an item and it was never brought into the ring because they couldn't find it. But they were spending time looking around the ring for something.
I think I can agree with Brent's point on it because I understand his complaint. And it's that it's almost formulaic in a way for these types of matches where it's like you have the first two start out, right? And they go for however long they're going to go. And then the next person comes in and they waste 5 minutes, their 5 minutes or whatever it is, to find weapons under the ring. And they're throwing chairs and kendo sticks and tables. And then the next person does the same thing. And I get it's to stall and to prevent the fights and not have the uneven fights and that kind of thing. But it's like you can almost time it. And you can almost predict the order of who's going to do what because they do it the same way every time. And
I mean, it's in the video game that specific way. So yes.
Yeah. So it's like in that end, it's like there's no real element of surprise with that. That it's like, oh, hey, I'm just going to throw a bunch of weapons in the ring because I can. You know, and I think in this match, especially not so much, I think in the Bloodline match, you had everybody stop and kind of do it, or a lot of people stop and do it, like multiple people did it, as opposed to like one person doing it or two people doing it. I think that's my only real complaint about it. And I think that might be Brent's as well, is it just it's kind of a way to waste time and stall, especially when it's three people in a match or, you know, an uneven number. Then you don't have somebody getting ganged up on until, you know, the next person is supposed to come out. And then it's like, oh, they can be the big hero and save the day kind of thing. My complaint about this.
Before you go on with the weapons, we also had a toilet seat.
We did. I hope it was sanitized.
I like they try to do something different with a weapon, have a toilet seat. Why there was a toilet seat underneath the ring, that has to be explained someday, but here we are. But anyway, your complaint.
Yeah, I was more concerned of how it got there because I just didn't know. And I don't really necessarily want to find out. My complaint was that, like, and it's not really even a complaint. I should not phrase this as a complaint. It was more of a concern. Was that Nia seemed like she was gassed about like a third of the way through this match.
I mean,
she looked like there were points of this match that she looked really good. And there were points in this match that she looked really sort of stumbling and bumbling a little bit. And like, I think I forget where it was in the match, but I think it was when she was working with EO. And like she was like laying in shots on EO, and you could just tell that she was absolutely blown up and just did not have the energy to be doing what she was doing. And she got better when she took a little bit of a break and she could get a breather. Especially, I think it was more in the beginning when more people came in the ring, Nia was not having to carry the match. But you could tell that she was not used to working a match this long.
I don't think it's the length of the match. I think it was the physicality and working with multiple people in said match.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
Because she could work a longer match, but she can work at a slower pace. This was more fast paced because when she's in there and then every 3 minutes someone else new is coming in, you gotta ramp up the pace a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But that was really kind of one of my only complaints. I will agree that the spot with Tiffany and EO was just a tad awkward because there's a point where they were sitting there waiting. I think it was like Tiffany's on one side and she's sitting there waiting, and then like EO's sitting on the other and they're waiting, right? And it just looks awkward because cool, Tiffany's
still cool.
Huh?
Still very
cool. Oh, it was still cool. Like it looked great. It looked fantastic, but you have Tiffany up there and the girls underneath her waiting for a good minute to 2 minutes. Something like that before the other side was ready. I think it was just more of a timing issue than it was anything else.
I think it was because she was still trying to untie the trash can and get that settled. And the fact that the timing may have been off a little bit, like the waiting point, the fact that they were able to time it together.
Oh yeah, that was great.
When one can't even see or really then communicate when she's going to do it, it's quite impressive.
I thought it was great. I thought it was absolutely fantastic once they pulled it off. Because, yeah, EO's flying blind.
Yeah, she said later, it's like, it's total darkness. She just trusts the trash can.
She has faith in the trash can. What in the Honkai Star Rail is going on? Anyway, but yeah, no, I enjoyed this. I thought this was really good.
I like the
it was
the,
a good opener.
It was a good opener. I like the fire extinguisher to put the handcuff on Spot. That was clever.
That was really clever.
Use old smoke and legit smoke and mirrors to do a handcuff Spot, which was great. The Riptide into the table for the finish. Really good.
That was sweet. I liked the stuff between, what was funny was when Liv came in and they did a good tease on it, where it's Liv kind of acts like she's going to run away from Rhea. And then she comes back with the baseball bat, and the use of the baseball bat in the match was very good.
She whooped Rhea her with getting, it, but she smacked her hard with that bat.
She did. She was hitting her with that bat, and it's like, ooh, that's going to leave a mark.
Yeah,
it was
if you notice, she hit her with the skinny part of the bat, which was smart. Not the full on heavy top of the bat, which was good.
But I also liked when Rhea took the mask off and kind of was like, oh, we playing now.
I'm good. We're real. We're ready.
Yeah, that was a nice little touch where Rhea's like, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of what you're going to do to me. Let's go. And then the chaos that ensued after that. So overall, I thought everybody had a really good presence. We had a teaser from Tiffany in terms of a cash-in, because at one point both Nia and Liv were down and she could have had her pick. But in the end, it did not go through because Raquel made the save, and I believe Io made the save as well, on that. But overall, I enjoyed this. I thought this was good. It was a great opener for the show.
Very fun.
So yeah, but in the end, Team Rhea is victorious, and they stand tall.
Indeed.
All right, moving on. I forget the exact order of the show, but, let's talk about Shinsuke Nakamura and LA Knight.
That was the next match for the U.S. title. This was the most surprising match of the night.
I have a bone to pick with WWE about this.
And what's the bone?
Y'all cannot keep making Shinsuke this cool. I can't hate him when he's this cool, guys. He's supposed to be the bad guy. I'm supposed to not like him as a heel. And you got him walking out with a dope new remix of his song. He's got a cool entrance. He's got the mask. He's got the makeup. He's got the whole look going on. He's nasty. Y'all can't do this to me. Okay? I mean, we all know Shinsuke is cool as shit. And you can't, dim that down in any way, shape, or form, because it will always come through that Shinsuke is just cool as shit.
With slower pace, he had a slower walk, serious. The lighting on it, it was a whole new presentation. The lighting is it's just him walking down, he's full dark, and then there's the blue and red background behind him. Yeah.
You know what vibe it gave me?
What's that?
I kind of got a cyberpunk vibe off of it, honestly.
A little bit. Yeah,
it was mainly the background for me, where it was, because the background was very sort of techno-punk kind of looking, especially with the colors. And so it was when he's walking out, it's God, this feels like fucking cyberpunk. But yeah, the whole presentation of the character, the whole thing was just sick shit. And the music, God, the music is so hot. I love the music. I was sitting here and I'm like, oh my God, they remixed it. And it sounds so good.
So when he did it on Friday, I was like, huh, they're really going to do this whole new presentation for Shinsuke and not let him win?
Yeah.
And then he won. I was like, oh, it makes sense now why they did the whole redo presentation of Shinsuke. He was going over. Because then it was like, you just wasted tons of money on revamping him with a new look and all this stuff to just have him lose in his first match, first real match.
The second he walked out, because I didn't see it Friday, the second he walked out in the brand new presentation, I was like, oh, he's going over. He's going over. There's no way he's not.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do this if he wasn't.
And no one talked about it because it was taped. It was like, why wasn't anyone talking about this new Shinsuke stuff? It was like, it was cool. People kept their mouth shut. Well done.
Yeah, good for, way to go, internet. You did your job for once.
I was completely blown away when I saw it on SmackDown. I was like, oh, we're doing it like this. Okay, all right. Because I heard the music, them introduce him. I was like, that's not his music. Oh, that's a different Shinsuke. Okay. And
Shinsuke.
And then he just destroyed LA Knight. LA Knight tried.
Oh, he whooped him.
I mean, because he blinded LA Knight on Friday which led to him coming in a disadvantage on Saturday. So there's your out for the loss. But he just whooped him. LA Knight made some comebacks, but it was a full Shinsuke Nakamura, I'm kicking your ass, I'm taking your title. That's what happened.
And we're here for it, because your new United States champion is Shinsuke Nakamura. A well-deserved title.
Yeah, and this doesn't say anything bad about LA Knight's run. We say it all the time. You gotta change the titles once in a while. Doesn't matter. LA Knight's fine.
It refreshes him. It allows him to chase again. That is the one downside when you have really long title runs, is that at some point the person holding the title, through no fault of their own, through no action of their own, becomes a little bit like complacent with the title, because it's not going anywhere and they're secure in the position that it's not going anywhere. So to move the title around a little bit adds that insecurity back to it, where it's like, no, I have to protect this and guard this with my life, and I have to defend this with everything I have, because it could be gone in a second.
And it makes things unpredictable, because I was not thinking this was happening. I was blown away. I was surprised.
Yeah. It was like, oh, they're going to do it. Oh, they're really going to do it. They're going to put the title on Shinsuke. Okay. All right. We were all here when this happens. Cool. But yeah, like, it was a nice surprise in the sense that LA Knight was not expecting this version of Shinsuke. And he met the intersection of fuck around to find out.
And he found out for sure.
Oh, yeah. He found out. So we'll see where this goes coming out of Survivor Series. Up next, in a contender for one of the most physical matches of the night, surprisingly most physical matches of the night, but not really, we had Bron Breakker defending his title against Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser. This is a triple threat for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm just going to say this up front. At some point, Sheamus is going to find Ludwig Kaiser. May not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but when he finds him, Ludwig gonna die in game. Like, he was such an intolerable little shit in this match. I loved it.
Yeah. This is a solid match. Very solid. Very enjoyable.
It's very enjoyable. It was very physical. Sheamus kind of showed off his wounds after the show, which was ow.
Yeah, apparently he has a bruised, cracked rib, something like that. He's a little banged up, supposedly.
Feel better, Sheamus. We love you. But Ludwig held his own in this, and he looked really good in this.
It was a good performance by him.
Like, he's so good at playing the smarmy heel. He really is. It's a talent that not many people have, but he's got it. But yeah, this was a really good match. At least to me, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
It was.
We got teased again for Sheamus winning the IC title, and again, he did not win the title, unfortunately, because Bron Breakker did retain. But this was a very good offering.
Yeah, one day he'll get the belt. One day.
On his last day, they'll make him Intercontinental Champion just to make it complete.
One of those days, yeah. Just not on that night.
Not on this night of nights. Up next, we have Gunther defending his title against Damian Priest. It's is for the World Heavyweight Championship. This is just two big beefy men slapping meat. I'm here for it.
Solid. It was a solid match between the two. Like they had at SummerSlam. It was a solid match. It wasn't anything blow away, but it was a solid good match. And as I predicted last week on the show, Finn Balor was the cause of Damian's defeat.
Yeah, but Gunther had none of that shit. He had none of it.
No, he had was none like, of it, but it happened. Told you it would happen.
Oh, I knew it would happen. Like, it was forecasted to happen. But, like, the fact that Gunther went for Finn as much as Damian did was a nice little touch. Because Gunther's like, what are you doing? Get out of here. Because, you know, it's a callback to the original character of Imperium, where there are no muss, no fuss. We are pure professional wrestling. We don't believe in all this stuff. And so, like, the fact that Gunther's trying to prove a point with Damian Priest and Finn comes out and attacks Priest, it's like, get out of here. You do not belong here. You were not invited to this, so go away. And he runs Finn off because he's like, no, I'm going to beat this guy fair and square, one-on-one in the center of the ring. And in the end, that's what he did. He submitted Priest via technical submission, but still a very good showing for both.
Very good showing. Gunther wanted the clean win, didn't get the clean win, but here we are, still champ.
Which I don't think anybody is necessarily surprised over.
Nope.
And last but not least, your main event of the show, you have Roman Reigns, the Usos, Jay and Jimmy, Sami Zayn, and CM Punk defending or fighting The Bloodline, which is Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa, along with Bronson Reed. This was just fun. So, this was just so much fun.
The way I would describe this match is facial reactions.
Yeah.
Roman's facial reactions to everything that would take place in this match. Or how people would enter said match. Him and Punk shared a few looks. The one where CM Punk was ready to go, and then Roman's like, nah. Puts his arm out, holds him back, tells Sammy to go. And the two of them have this really weird stare down between the two. Just looking at each other, like, I can't stand you. We're trapped in a cage. Kind of looking back and forth of disgust between the two. And then Roman was ready to go, and then Punk's like, nah, I'm going. Roman wasn't happy. Roman got locked out of the cage afterwards before he was able to get in. We'll talk about it in a second. But we also had rekindling of friendships. Jimmy and Sammy did their handshake together. It was a lot of that. The match itself was just fine. It wasn't anything spectacular. The guys, they were telling more of the story, and Bronson got hurt in it, which we've talked about, where he did the big splash off the top of the cage, and he came down on his, Punk saved Roman, pulled him off the table, and Bronson comes crashing down, but his feet hit the mat at an awkward angle, I guess, and that's where he got, his weight came crashing down on him.
I do not mean this as an insult in the slightest, but I'm going to agree with everybody that was saying that CM Punk probably legit saved Roman Reigns' life. That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Yeah, he pretty much did.
I'm pretty sure he did.
So Roman was trapped out of the cage. He had to get in. He had to climb all the top, and he dove down on everyone. And then he goes to pick up everyone, like his with Jimmy and Jay, and then looks down at Punk and is like, nah, and picks up Sammy. And Punk was like, okay, and then Heyman had a run down. Like, that was a cool moment. Like, Heyman ran down right before they officially announced the war games have begun. He's like, you're the best of the world. You're the tribal chief. You got to get along, yada, yada, yada. Get on the same page. And he's like, this is war games. And then they announced it. That was a cool moment. Very cinematic. Which, by the way, the way they set it up on television with the sit down and how Punk's doing this for a favor and stuff like that. That whole cinematic thing they did on SmackDown the night before was really well done. But in the end, Roman's bloodline of OGs were able to take down all the big men, all the Tongans, and Solo was the last man standing. And he ate everything from everybody. Also did like the Usos doing their double splash together. You want to talk about waiting for something? Jimmy waiting to hit the big splash on Jacob. He's just sitting on the top rope waiting and waiting and waiting. And Jacob's just laying there and waiting as they're just trying to do a couple other moves around it. And then it's like, now he goes up. Now he's going on the top of the cage. But he waited for there for a good minute on the top rope before climbing up the cage. That was a little awkward. But I enjoyed the finish, though. I thought it was the right finish. And it showed that it took five, basically, finishers to take down Solo Sikoa. Pretty impressive.
I think I want to go back to when Roman came in the match. Because, and I blame the announcers on this one. Because to me, it was, I don't want to say it was stupid, but it was kind of foolish. Because Solo gets a chain and a lock and locks the cage, right? So Roman can't get in the cage. And everyone's like, oh my God, what's he going to do? How's he going to get in the cage? This match can't start until the cage is unlocked and Roman Reigns enters. And I'm like, he can fucking climb. Io did it. Like, for the love of God, he's not unable to climb the cage. And sure enough, that's exactly what he did. It's like, guys, logic. Use logic. I know it doesn't necessarily exist in the world of professional wrestling, but it's a thing. It happens. And so that was like my one kind of like issue, because it just took me out of it for a moment. Was like, oh, logic. We're not going to use the logic. Okay. All right. We're just moving on. I like the callback to the Usos, like doing the top rope moves. I liked the friction between Roman and Punk.
Yeah, it was good.
I liked that it was there, that it was present, and you had Paul Heyman having to be the mediator between the two. where he's like, oh, fuck me. Okay, all right, boys, play nice. Because even when they showed them, like, standing in the cage together before they both went out, and, like, Roman's on one side and Punk's on the other, and they're both just absolutely pissed that they have to be in there together. Like, neither one of them really wants to be there. But for the sake of the team, they're going to be a team player. Holla, holla. They're going to do it. But I loved all the dynamics in this. I thought this was a good showing for both teams. I am sad that Bronson got hurt. I was a little worried about, I think it's Jacob Fatu, where it looked like he might have tweaked his knee, but I don't know. It was either really good selling or he tweaked his knee again.
I think it was a good sell.
It's the way he was acting. It's like, dude, because it was like he's done that before. And yeah. So it's like, are you okay?
He's usually good at selling.
So, but yeah, all of this was really enjoyable. I like this. And in the end, I guess not really a surprise, but I suppose a surprise to me, Roman Reigns and company pick up the win.
OG's still on top.
So we'll see how, but they did bring up Roman Reigns reclaiming his rightful place as the tribal chief.
Well, eventually, because he still has to get the follow.
Yes, but they're teasing that.
Yeah, that's the next step.
So we'll see how that challenge gets made.
Indeed. Good show.
Great show. And with that, I think we're done.
We are, in fact, done. That will do it for the rack. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night, maybe we'll do a game night around Fortnite. We'll figure it out.
OG is coming.
OG comes in 10 hours. Maybe we'll stream a little bit of that on Saturday before CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. They'll talk, I think, a little bit about Saturday Night's main event and some other things. We'll see. It's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night. We'll talk Saturday Night's main event. We'll preview it next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcast, just search The Rack Radio Show. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support your channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use Curry Curry Rock Sock or
Lens M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop when you all buy your Fortnite cruise full of OG battle passes, Lego, and the current battle pass and more, because we are
hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lens Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lens Ward. We got Chicken Wing Boy. Yeah, you can go watch that on the Twitch channel in the VOD. There was much screaming and there were 50-50s to be lost, but we got him and the light cone, and we still have funds left over. Sunday be praised. So we've been bouncing back and forth between Genshin and Honkai Star Rail. The Dragon Daddies are coming on Tuesday, so there may be more rolling and more screaming. We'll have to see. But tune in that twitch.tv/Lens Ward. You can also follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LensWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LensWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films. It's youtube.com/MBG1211. And go tell him we said hi and like and subscribe and do all the things on his channel, because he does some pretty cool, amazing content. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye.
Wait for me. Wait. Please wait for me. Wait for me.
WildTalkRadio.com.